Morning. And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, Bible's own way, and we are excited that we have another day, a day of grace, and that God is proclaiming grace and peace today, and not judgment and war. And we're excited that you're tuning in with us, and especially those who are here today. It's so much nicer to see your smiling faces than I'm sure you're smiling through the camera lens too. But the thing is, we are excited about the Word of God, Rightly Divided. We had some fellowship here, some questions, Q&A. We had some praise items and prayer requests. So we continue to lift everybody up that are here and those that are listening. We're going to sing a song in the Red Book, Blessed Assurance. We're going to sing 1 and 3. The choir showed up this week, and they're excited to sing this song. They requested this song, so we can rejoice with them. Our platform. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born as a spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Number 3.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Praising my Savior all the day long.
Assurance. It's wonderful to know that you have assurance, right? Not insurance, assurance.
Yeah.
Many of us have insurance policies that helps us. You know one thing about an insurance policy? You know what they're betting on you to do?
Not use it.
Yeah.
Well, no, they're betting you to live. So you,
which means you would be.
Right. Paying. So you pay premium. But we got an assurance in Jesus Christ, in the blood of Jesus Christ, that's already been paid for. You know what I mean? Yeah, all the debt's been paid for, and that's a wonderful thing. We hope that you're doing well in this. We're in lesson 48 in the fundamentals of dispensationalism, and as we're looking at the Word of God, we look at the Word of God through God's Word and how He made a distinction between prophecy and mystery. Okay, and within that prophecy and mystery is a full threefold division, which we'll work on probably next lesson, go back and refresh everybody's memory banks a little bit. But times pass, but now in ages to come. And we left off last week about Peter and how Peter was talking about the long suffering towards things, and even as Paul, his blood brethren, had wrote according to the wisdom given to him, has written to some of the Jewish believers. Now, the long suffering, lesson 48, long suffering of God is explained by the ministry of who? How do you find out about the long suffering? Who's that?
Paul.
Apostle Paul. And Peter was written to help them grow to understand why the prophecy program is delayed. Well, he wrote it over here, but they're going to use it over here. Is God working through is God building a kingdom program today?
No.
The same, the kingdom of that's prophesied over here in Daniel, is it in effect today?
No.
But will it go in effect? So
yes.
The kingdom program is postponed, and as Peter's talking about why their prophesied program was delayed, an explanation of what was committed to Paul. It's a dispensational issue, guys. Dispensational is a good word. It's a God-breathed word. And when you understand how he's dispensing, all it means is stewardship, how he's dispensing, and I bring this up all the time, has God changed?
No.
He's the same yesterday, today, forever. But who's changed?
Man
has changed. He did not drop his... So he's dispensing what he's dispensed to man is differently in each dispensation. And when Peter closes his book in 2 Peter chapter 2, if you're there, I did say turn there, right?
No. But that's okay.
That's fine. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. That's why he shared this. Now from 2 Peter, they are to admonish to add to their faith virtue. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Virtue. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and goodness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and what? Virtue. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. See, they're building on each other. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So even Peter's talking about, they start out with faith over here. Then resting in the cross with the understanding of what it does for them. You with me? So now they got the faith in what Jesus Christ did back here. Now, and they're going to get understanding. Their confidence and Christ motivates them to go out and bring the works necessary for the kingdom, and their conduct will bring persecution upon them, and they're going to identify themselves as part of the little flock. See, if they're doing the right things that Peter tells them to do, what's it going to identify them as? Part of the world system? Part of the Antichrist system? Part of the religious? No, they're going to be separated out too. That's why sanctification means what? Set apart. In the dispensation of grace of God, the first five chapters of Romans that Paul wrote, God through Paul writes, it deals with what? Justification. And you notice that Paul never brings that up ever again in his writings. As far as you got to keep justified, you're losing justification. No, once you're justified, you're justified. Then Romans 6, 7, and 8 deals with what? Sanctification. How do you today, in the dispensation of grace of God, set yourself apart from the world or religious system? You're dead to sin. You're dead to the law. You're dead to the flesh. So if you get yourself involved in that and understand where you're at, it's going to make a difference with you, because you know what it's going to do? It's going to show that you're different. This group right here, preach and teach, you're different than any other group out there right now. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Good.
That's a great thing. But how do they look at you?
Strange.
Strange. Peculiar. I always talk about y'all peculiar, I'm special ed. You know, I say that type of thing. But the thing is they look at you like you're not right. You're part of a cult. That, all that stuff. Don't buy into that. Keep doing the right thing, guys, because you have to stand in front of God yourself. And that's what Peter's talking about, their conduct. And what they're going to be doing over here is they're going to identify them with that little flock. And they learn to have hope that we're able to take them and endure with the confidence of the Word of God. They're still going to be using the Word of God over here, just like you and I should be using the Word of God. We don't base our confidence on emotions. We'd be tore all to pieces right now. You're driving up the highway, somebody cuts you off, oh, my emotions, and you turn around and go back home. That's it. I'm not going to be here no more. You know, that type of thing. We have people that allows their thinking, so they're not thinking what Word of God says. You got to stand. And they will grow up in the Word of God so they understand what is happening and can have confidence over here. Listen, you know as well as I know, this is not going to be a good time for anybody in the world. Right? So, somebody else preaching? But anyway, now, that's Peter. That's Peter over there. It's okay. Electronics, can't live with them, can't live without them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, hey, who's the prince of power of the air, guys?
He's working right there.
They're working through electricity. Anyway.
Okay, let's start over.
Okay. Take two. Yeah. Acts 2. No, just a, but anyway, so when he writes his books over there, they're going to take the Word of God, and they're going to know how to identify themselves. In contrast, we do the same thing in the dispensation of grace of God. You should not go to the Hebrews epistles to apply what's happening today. I think we established that. Now, in 1 John. 1 John is a series of tests that tells them not everyone who claims to be part of the little flock are a part of it. Okay? Think about that for a second. There is truth and error, and they need to know how to identify it. So John gives them a series of tests whereby they can know the difference between true Israel and a true Jew, a true circumcision, and the false Jew, and the false Israelites, and the false circumcision. Hey, there's people back here in times past that God dealt with that's supposed to have been true Israel, and what had happened? They got infiltrated. They started making their own religion. But this line up here, this timeline, represents the true Israel. There also was a counterfeit right here going on that represent the false Israelites. So you think that's going on today? I love what the brother said, that the same people that hated the true circumcision, hated the little flock, they hate you today in the body of Christ. You ever thought about that? This world out there don't like you. And that the religious world, when we talk about the religious world today, where's your focus? Where's the religious, headquarters is at today? When you think about that, where?
The Vatican?
Washington, D.C.
Well, that's political.
Here?
Rome. But what was Jerusalem? Does people Israel. Look at Jerusalem as a center?
Israel.
Okay. Do they look for, as far as Islam? Where's their Mecca at? Where's their headquarters?
Mecca.
Okay, but you know who's taking over more than that? You ever heard of Seneca Valley? You ever heard of where all the Google stuff and all the world stuff coming out when you? That has become a religious mecca out there that's distributing things through the world and people buying into it. So don't think that you can't be convinced. Don't think that your mind can be twisted and say, this is truth. I had my little grandson when he was talking about God's going to destroy the heaven and earth and there's going to be another one. And he says, no, the sun's going to destroy the earth. The sun's going to burn up everything. And then the sun's going, I said, who told you that? He said, the iPad. So you get all your information from that iPad and Google stuff, and that became a religious system out there. You know, and it's convincing people, and they won't turn right here. It's just like what's going on this month. You know, I'm going to share this with you. I know it's not part of it, but look, when I was a kid, long hair was queer. You know what queer means?
Strange
or odd. You know, you had long, you're queer. Then you had an earring. Oh, you're queer. You know, but then you put in this ear, you're queer. You just opposite. Now, what they've taken about, I'm going to share this poem, they've taken a whole month to produce homosexuality, produce all this stuff, and they're, you know, I call them queer. They're odd. You don't have to tell me a whole month to do something what you believe that's be odd, what I'm doing. But the thing is, what do they take the whole month to do? And put it on TV and put it on the airways and get you to convince that it's okay. God says it's wrong. That's where I'll leave it. Now you can say I'm odd, you can call me that queer that type of thing, but what I'm getting at is you have to know truth to mirror. And if you buy into that, you're buying the same type of stuff what John's talking about, give them a test, the truth and error that they need to know who identify with them. As far as who is the false, who is not the false. Hey, are there false prophets going on today? Mm-hmm. Are there people deceiving you today? Yeah. How is that? Because you're allowing it. You're not identifying with yourself. And I'm strong about this, guys. And you wonder why sometimes you ask me, why aren't you talking to so-and-so? Or why don't you have so? Listen, if you surround yourself with these type of people, that's against the doctrine, that's against the King James Bible, then I'm going to separate from you. Mm-hmm. I don't have to separate. I'm already separated from them. Mm-hmm. So that you're going to have to make a stand. And that's why sometimes I'll stand up here and preach to the wall because nobody's here. That's joking. The thing is, you have to make that decision. And it's hard, buddy. We talk about, anybody get the grace letter? We get not the journal, but the letter comes out each month from Richard. We support Grace School of Bible. And I should have brought that letter because he brought up the fact that when we had our conference last month, and I don't know if you met the Ray, the Amish people, and their uncle that came to knowledge of this truth, shunned by family members, and they're like by themselves. And the uncle, he's an older guy, much older than some of you probably live in here right now. He went to Richard and says, thank you. The Bible's more clear now than it ever was. But the fact was, they separated themselves from that religious system. And what did that religious system do? Hey, we're going to support your decisions. No, they shunned them. They kicked them out. So don't be afraid to be out there by yourself, but you're really not by yourself. Now, thank you for being here. And notice how often in the book of John, you're in 1 John chapter 2. Notice how often John says, hereby we know, or hereby know we, type of thing. Look at verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Verse 5. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Chapter 3, verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abided in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Chapter 4, verse 6. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Chapter 4, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his what?
Spirit.
So you see what John is doing? John's giving them a test over here. Hereby we know this truth, and it's from error. So when they're over here in this tribulation period, and they're opening up the book of John, and the book of Hebrews, first the book of Hebrews is doctrine about what the cross has done for them, the doctrine. Then they open up James, they start to get reproved for correcting. Then they open up Peter, they're starting to get a correction. Then back John, is some doctrine issues about truth and error. And they're going to be able to say, that guy's a false. Don't line up with them. And they're going to be Bible believers there, same as they're Bible believers here, same as they're Bible believers over here. Nobody's going to tell me otherwise that when the Lord Jesus Christ come up on this earth, they wasn't people studying their Bible say, he is he. He is the one we're looking for. But when the Lord Jesus Christ come, he's dealing with a nation. Okay, he's dealing with his child. Israel was a nation. God so loved the world, he loved his world, that he gave his only begotten son. And through that nation, the whole world's supposed to come to knowledge of the truth. But what happened? So you think that's going on today? Even though he's in royal exiles today, he left light in this world between us. So you think people's looking at you today and saying, you got the truth. I'm going to body of Christ with you guys. Or you think it's opposite? Yeah, you know, God's always dealing. That's why you don't worry about numbers. You worry about faithful men and women, brethren, that's standing for truth. And if you stand for truth, you're going to know error. I tell people all the time, I'm not the smartest guy, a cookie in a bunch. Sometimes I'm one brick shy than a full load, that type of thing. And I'm forever learning. And I want to know the truth. Not forever learning and never able to come to knowledge of truth. You know what the knowledge of truth is, but what I know what it's not in the dispensation's grace has helped me more than anything. And it can help you too if you allow the word of God to work effectively in those that believe it. So 2 John, so the test is there that if they go by hereby we know over here, and hereby we know, that type of thing, they're going to know who's in that flock. They're going to test you. You know this, don't you? And they're like, I don't know this. I thought you're supposed to follow Paul. So that type of thing. And they're like, nope, you know what's going on down here. 2 John, focus on the walk of the believer. The issue is the truth for the truth's sake. They're going to take truth and be able to move on truth. You don't move on fake news, fake truth. You have to have truth. And you know, despite what you might turn on your TV, or despite the people you talk to, people's looking for truth. And first thing we should give them is truth of God's word. That's going to make a difference in how they focus truth out there. I talk to people all the time, and we're talking about what's going on out in the world. My question is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? And a lot of people are like, well, whatever can do. There's something you can do about it. But you've got to have truth to make you discern. You can't barricade yourself. I'm not, you know, they're going to make an example out of you. But you still stand for truth. There's evil and there's good out there. Always has been. And good always overcomes evil. As much as you may think it don't, it does work.
You get more grace.
Set your affections on things above.
The worse it gets out there, the more grace we're given.
Amen. And you know, Brother Richard brought that up in message. I listened to him the other day. I keep thinking about, you know, bringing up Richard. I don't promote the man, I promote the word. But the fact is, the Bible says where sin abound, what happens?
Grace
much more abound. So as worse and worse it gets out there, grace is going to abound and abound and abound. So we're going to be a part of this, expounding grace. What is grace? God is allowing his time, grace and peace out there, and he gave his son to die for you, but there's going to be a time that he's not going to take care of. Right now, he's reconciling the world into him. He's not imputing trespasses and sins. But there's going to be a time, if you die unsaved, or if he takes us out of here, you're not going to have that chance again. There's not going to be grace like you know, dispensation of grace. But second period, in verses 9, 10, and 11, he tells them how to avoid association with error by abiding, living in the truth. Listen, some of the things that Peter wrote is similar to what Paul's wrote in, over here in the dispensation of grace. You ought to be able to know truth from error right now in all things. Now, I know people stands up here and says you can't mix water with oil, you can't mix politics and religion, that type of thing. But if you're straight in your beliefs, truth, it will help you in all matters. I'm sorry, you can tell errors in anything. 2 John chapter 1, verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both, he hath both Father and Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he is that he that biddeth him Godspeed is particular in what? His evil deeds. Hey, you think Peter's telling them guys over there, here's what you got to look for. Where's your walk over here? Where are you going to walk? Are you going to walk the course of this world with the Antichrist? Or are you going to be different where people would say, I'm going to be like him? Now, that can mean death to a lot of people over here. Because if they're after that church and after those believers and you're associating yourself with them, guess what that makes you? A target too. Okay? It could come a day today in this world that when you cannot believe the Bible, you cannot rightly divide the word of truth, you have to be part of a mega church or mega religion in order to eat, drink, and be married. What are you going to do? Well, I'm saved, sealed, and sanctified. I'm jumping right in there with them. Or are you going to walk not as other Gentiles walk, not as non-believers walk? You're going to walk the walk that God gave you through Ephesians. Through God. Ephesians broke up two places, right? Standing and state. And your walk is involved in that. Sherry's big on helping people out when they're depressed. When your things are not going right, you read a book of John, right?
No.
You read a book of Romans, right?
No.
You go to Genesis. You got to start all the way back at the beginning. Mm-mm. You read the book of
Ephesians.
Ephesians, first three chapters.
Yep, that's your standing. And then the next 4, 5, 6 is your state. You're already there, seated in heaven. You're already there. Your state is who you are in Christ Jesus is already there. So that will bring you out of some depressing issues. Whoa, look at all these blessings. Made to sit in heavenly places, have all spiritual blessings. You can't beat that with a big old stick. But anyway, John, 2 John is that focus of that walk up believer over there. In contrast, we have a walk. Every time period had a walk.
Amen.
As a believer, Israel over here, there was a physical, spiritual, visible people that the world seen. And do you know that one time there was a nation in this world did not know who Israel was, and that who God of the Bible creation had helped them, and they feared him. I mean, they had it going on, but what happened? Their focus and their walk and their belief got away and started whoring around with other gods and all that stuff to where that made them ineffective. Mm-hmm. Listen, today our walk can be made none effective if you don't watch what you're doing. Chapter 3, 3 John, 3 John, He talks to them about the church and their responsibility to maintain the truth in their assembly. Third John chapter 1, verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved, was Gaius?
Gaius.
Whom I love in the truth, for I rejoiced greatly, verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth, verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Go to verse 8. Wherefore, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Verse 12. Demetrius, have good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, we also bear record, and ye know that our record is what?
True.
They got a responsibility there in that church to maintain that truth in that church. Truth, truth, truth. In contrast, today, this church, the local church, is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Should you maintain truth here?
Amen.
Hey guys, there've been times when I've been gone and people come in here distributing the literature. They waited till I was left. And gave you guys literature and started talking about the people I love and said, you don't need to listen to this guy, you need to listen to this guy. And I would have never known until a brother told me, he said, hey, you know that guy brought that book? I said, what guy? Oh, that guy. I said, you mean what? And if you remember, some of you was here and I got you together and I said, well, I'm gone. Even though I'm the bishop, the overseer of this church, when I'm gone, it's up to you to protect this church. You know what I mean? You just don't let anybody, that's why we don't let just anybody preach up here. You don't let people in here that believes in a NIV or, you know, NASV. You don't let them take over his pulpit. That I shared this before, I'll share it again. There have been people sit right back there and try to change this doctrine. If you do what they're doing in Chicago, I won't have part of it. If you do this, if you teach this, you know, there's two types of Gentiles and that other stuff. They come up here every Sunday. They would come up here saying, no, you shouldn't do that. The book of Romans is not to you. You know, that type of thing. I'm like, I said, next Sunday, we're teaching the book of Romans as the first book of doctrine of the body of Christ. Have not seen them since. Because you're not going to change me. But if you're not strong enough and walking in truth and guarding this doctrine, it can get in your skull and in between your ears, and it can mess with your mind, saying maybe it is something to that. I went down those roads, guys. Mm-hmm. There's not a road that I ain't been a battle with that I ain't touched on. The 28ers, the Acts 2. Every one of us came out of Acts 2. Mm-hmm. So you should know very well what they teach out there. I remember that time I thought it might be a good idea that, hey, let's go to these different, take this group, go to these different churches just to renew your mind about what they're teaching in era. And Brother Dan goes, Ed, I came out of that stuff. I ain't going back in that stuff. Which is a good thing, right? That's what you want to hear. You know, we went to different places, but y'all know what I went over at that Baptist church over on 12th Street that time. Spent a year and a half from 9 o'clock to 9:45, teaching them this truth for a year and a half. And people cried, and people was just enjoying themselves. Even the preacher and his wife was sitting there enjoying the stuff. And all they wanted, basically wanted us to join them because they had a $500,000 mortgage. And they was looking, their church was dwindling down. It wasn't a doctrine. So I leave there and come here and preach here to people that was excited with it. And what I'm getting at is the fact that their responsibility and my responsibility is right here. Your responsibility is the doctrine. Mm-hmm. Okay? And you should hold fast to it, just like John's telling them people over here. You have to protect it over here. It's a responsibility to main truth in the assembly. Hey, if you started preaching what ifs, you'd have his place all tore all to pieces. Because they don't know what ifs like a door hinge, right? If you do this, if you do that. So stick with the doctrine. They're going to have to stick with the doctrine. Then you got Jude. In the book of Jude. Go to Jude 1. Jude verse 1. Jude, they learned the importance of contending for the faith. Fighting against the error. Jude 1 verse 3. Jude 3. I get that mixed up. Jude verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, dost not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Contending for the faith, staying with it, honing yourself, sharpening that tool. There's nothing wrong with that. Then you have the book of Revelation and the Hebrews epistles. Book of Revelation, when it's all said, what is Israel after they go through this stuff? Contending for the faith, abiding for the faith, standing for truth. What are they going to be entitled to, per se? Not in the kingdom, but what are they going to be doing? Serving as
royal priests.
What did Moses tell them they're going to be over here?
12 tribes.
Okay, not only 12 tribes. What you're going to be a kingdom of priests, royal. And what did Peter say over here? You're a royal priesthood. Listen, if you believe what they're doing, Moses over here, and what Peter's doing here, and be baptized, you're being baptized into a kingdom of priests. That kingdom should already come if 90% of, if you know what I mean? If the 90% of the Christendom out there is based their belief in Acts chapter 2, repent, be baptized for remission of sins, the kingdom should already be here. Revelation chapter 1. They are reigning as kings and priests with Christ. That's the thing. Revelation 1 verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the priest of the kings of the earth, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and have made us sit, verse 6, and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see that? Hey, what's showing up there? Washed in his what?
Blood.
That wasn't over here to be true. So that's why I say these books over here is regrowing right back to that cross and seeing what that cross accomplished for them over here. Chapter 5, verse 7 through 10. Revelation chapter 5, verse 7. And he came and looked at the book on the out of the right hand, took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odor, which are the prayers of the saints. Verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, that was, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
They're making them that way. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such the second death had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So Revelation is looking back and reigning as kings and priests. They're doing the right things over here. So the Hebrew epistles, which are what? When you say Hebrews epistles, what are you referring to?
Ages to come.
Hebrew through Revelation, ages to come. That has nothing to do with us today. And I know many of us look what the world right now is going on. Oh, it's here, it's here. It's not here. You're still here, my one. If you, that should give you an indication that you're still on this earth, because the catching away has not come yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe that to be a fact. And that's another thing we stand here as doctrine-wise, we believe in a pre-trib catching away, the rapture. But the Hebrews epistles go right through the progression of the kingdom saints will have to go through. Just like Romans through Philemon is a progression that you and I go through today, Hebrews through Revelation is a progression of what they're going to go through over here. One, they have to understand how the new covenant is the basis of their hope, and that new covenant is based on the blood of Christ. Mosaic covenant wasn't based on that, so to speak. They have to have faith that goes on unto perfection. That's another thing they had to do. Three, they bring forth the works and conduct necessary. Works made their faith perfect. It brings forth the conduct necessary to get into the kingdom. You're going to take care of your brother? You just can't tell me you're going to take care of your brother. What are you going to have to do? You're going to have to take care of your brother. You have to clothe him. You have to feed him. You have to house him. That's what people want to see over there. Just don't tell me that. You know, you said, we can talk to people today. Just don't tell me you believe in Jesus Christ. Show me. What do you mean? You know, that type of thing. So, four. In the process, the opposition goes against them, so they need what? Not only faith, but hope. Hope. They're going to have, because when that Antichrist start taking them down and cranking down on them, they're going to have hope, like, I got to get out of here. Our hope, as we get older, hope makes us not ashamed, but it also, we know what the coming of Jesus Christ, we're waiting. Don't every day go by, you say, Lord, come quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, just come quickly. When you was 20 years old, you didn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, give me another day. Lord, don't hurt me. But anyway, then you see, Number five, then they need to be able to identify the one who will seek to deceive the very elect. Their objective standard will be emotions, will be your word, will be
God's word.
God's word. That's mm-hmm. it. They're going to take God's word and be able to identify with what he's doing. Hold your finger there just for a second, and go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, right quick. We've got a few minutes. I'm going to... Now, you know what the book of Thessalonians is written for?
Mm-hmm.
What was going on in Thessalonica that Paul had to write this second book to him?
False doctrine.
You understand that?
It's already happened.
Okay. This is, some say this is one of the first epistles that Paul wrote. Some say Galatians. But this deals with the catching away. Galatians deal with under the law. First one. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the gathering together unto him. That's the day of redemption, taking us out of here. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or in trouble, neither by the Spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Verse 2-3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who? Who's he talking about there?
Antichrist.
Hang on a minute. Go back to verse 3. Who is the who in verse 4?
The man of sin.
The man of sin opposed and exalted himself. Who's the himself there? Son of perdition. Above all that is called God and that is worshiped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself, that son of perdition, that he is what?
God.
You see all the big G's there?
Mm-hmm.
Now, who's usually the big G in the Bible?
God Almighty.
Now, who's the big G here?
Son of perdition.
So when that man sits over here, in his over here, he's going to be the big G. So when Peter now is over here talking about them that need to be able to identify the one who seek to deceive the very elect, that guy is going to be in position over here to deceive the very elect. Paul is saying, hey, I told you these things. He says, remember ye not, verse 5, that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. So somebody came along and told them, hey, the resurrection already happened. The Antichrist is coming. He's here. And Paul's like, wait a minute. That ain't happened. Same as today, it ain't happened, guys. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Now, who is the he? What is the context of the thing?
The Antichrist.
The he in verse 3, yeah.
Man of sin.
For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who know letteth will let until he is taken out of the way. Now, a lot of people claim that's the body of Christ when he is taken out of the way. But in context, who's letting and letting go out here?
Son of perdition.
And then shall that wicked one, that's a big capital W there, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Paul writes Thessalonians in the dispensation for the dispensation of grace, tell you this is what you look for and it ain't here. When it does show up over here, what is the Hebrew epistles going to describe? You should be able to identify that guy, just like you and I should be able to identify what's going on out there. You and I should be able to identify false prophets today. One, what's the easiest way to do?
Compared to the Word.
Yeah.
Yeah. What book are we using? Do they, you either rightly divide, wrongly divide, or don't divide at all? Most people don't divide at all. So anyway, they're going to take that because they have to know who's going to deceive them, and they're going to use the Word. They're not going to use circumstances or song and dance, smoke and mirrors. Too many of that stuff's going on right now. Then go back, number 6. They will use that standard to apply it in their lives, in their assemblies, and to contend for it, knowing that when Christ does come back, they're going to reign with them. Hey, what are some of the things we talk about you promised? The seated where?
In heavenly places.
Some of us talk about gold, silver, and precious stones, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Can you get that now out of the Word of God?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can you get the wisdom out of the Word of God and the understanding and the precious stones and the knowledge? Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. You need that to identify who you are, to continue who you are, so you're going, when he comes back after you, he's placing you in the heavenly places up here. That program is going to work for them too. They're going to have to contend for that faith. They're going to have to show who they are. You and I today, in the dispensation of grace, should be contending for some things. We should be striving to have more knowledge and wisdom and understanding, not just lying on me. That's what I love about dispensation grace. It's your responsibility too to study his Bible. And also, you know what? Not only study, what does it say give attendance to?
Reading.
I do very little reading. I do a lot of studying. And I need to get back to reading. Just read. Give attendance to reading. You're reading through. Many of you reading through your Bible. Just reading. You're not studying it. My thing is I get that verse. Oh, yeah, I'm going over here. And it, not chasing rabbits, but it taking me off the course. I should be giving attendance to reading. And that's just a study aid for that. Now, next lesson, we're going to go back to renew some things about three things that you take. One, you take it literally. Two, you compare verse with verse. And three, you rightly divide it. Father, once again, thank you for the time. Thank you for things given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you want to help with the, we do have a donation button. Or if you want to write us, it's 592 P.O. Box 592 in Cambridge, Ohio, 43725. But we'd much rather have you come here. So if you're in the area, please stop by or say hello and come worship with us. Until next week.